selling framework. Natural selling framework. Okay, so if you'll take a blank piece of paper, big blank piece of paper, and turn it sideways, and let's see now, this landscape style, and right across the top there, write the natural selling dialogue or conversation framework. Natural selling dialogue or conversation framework. Dialogue and conversation are two different things, but it works for our purpose for this evening. Underneath that, write five steps to success, and then for the rest of the space, write a box, an oblong box, across the page, and put in five columns in that box. So, Bill, you're doing this with me. You're going to be my guide here for a moment to make sure that I'm on track, okay? So if I'm going too fast, you can let me know, is that right? Okay. All right. So you've got that. You've got five columns. Now I'd like you to draw a line underneath the top line of your box so that we can put a heading there, or some headings, all right? And then another line so that we put some subheadings. So you should have an oblong box with five columns and rows at the top to put some headings. You got that? Okay, you got that, Bill?
Yes, I got that.
Okay, good, thanks. All right, so this is what we're going to do now. If you would, I'd like you to do first. It's at the bottom, write the word listen, L-I-S-T-E-N. Okay, at the bottom of the box, write the word listen, L-I-S-T-E-N. On a separate piece of paper, just as a little exercise, write the word listen again, L-I-S-T-E-N. And then underneath that, write the word silent, S-I-L-E-N-T, S-I-L-E-N-T. What do we have there, Bill?
Well, I've got listen, and underneath that is silent.
Okay, and what are you looking at? Looking at what? An anagram there. In other words,
yes, I am.
Listen and silent, same letters. Let's have another one. Put the
word. Activa.
Let's put the word enlist underneath there. E N L I S T. So, what is listening all about? Listening is about being silent. It's about listening to what a person is saying. The more you listen, the more you understand, the more you connect with them, the better chances you have of understanding where they're coming from. And the more chances you have of them accepting you and what you're saying, the more chances you have of enlisting them into your program, because you'll know what to say and how to say it when the time comes. So listen, silence, and enlist. So a little sidetracking there for you. So what's the next one we put on here? Let's look at the top row of the chart, and I'd like you to put in the first column connecting stage, and in the second column I'd like you to put discovering stage, connecting stage, and discovering stage. And if you'd like, put a sort of thick black line around the box. In other words, connecting stage and discovering stage box all the way around there. Make a fairly thick black line, because that's very, very significant here. Very, very significant. Let me talk about connecting stage. On the second line there, put lead source, L-E-A-D, lead source. Lead source. Now, what do I mean by lead source? Well, you have a number of different sources available to you, and I'll give you some of them that you can connect with people. One is your circle of influence. Circle of influence will be friends, associates, acquaintances. You can get leads from advertisements, from websites. You can buy leads. You can get leads from flyers, from posters. You can also get leads from referrals. You can go to seminars and talks. You can talk with strangers. You can do telephone cold calling. These are all different lead sources. And also at this stage, depending on what and who with whom you're talking, you're going to connect with them in different ways, which is why I put together my CD program called 12 Ways to Start Effective Conversations Without Fear. 12 Ways to Start Effective Conversations Without Fear. And sometime in the near future, I'm going to redo that, because there's a lot of different ways that even in those 12 ways. So, for example, when you're talking with friends, it's good to understand what kind of personality they are. So, and we're not talking about personalities in this series, but understanding a bit about personality is very useful, so that you would approach your friends in different ways if you wanted to talk with them. You wouldn't treat them as though they were all the same nail, if you like, and try and hammer them over the head with the same approach. So you would treat them differently. Next column is discovering stage. Discovering stage. Now, if you want to write on a separate piece of paper, or if you've got a big piece of paper there, write discover your two objectives. And this is where I want to expand on this a little bit. So in that column, write the words two objectives, and then take a separate piece of paper and write down the first objective, which is the question, you know, what is missing? Okay? And underneath that, write these three things. Write, one, what they want, two, why they want it, three, what's preventing them from getting it. What they want, why they want it, what's preventing them from getting it. And so your objective then, your first objective, is to discover if there is something missing. Now, if you're calling a lead, you know there's something missing, because there is a reason why they called you or left a message, is because they're looking for help to change their present circumstances. So you know something is missing. So you're a little bit along the way there. If you're talking with a friend or a stranger, you have to start from scratch to discover if something is missing, remembering that natural selling is a problem-solving exercise, not a telling or selling exercise. And if you're going to help people solve their problems, you have to find out first what? If there is a problem to be solved in the first place. And so you're finding out if anything is missing. And you're looking for things like what they want, why they want it, why they haven't got it, what the obstacles are in the way to prevent them getting it. You're looking for more things as well. I'm giving you sort of an overview of this, and this is what we'll expand on next week. And the second objective, if something is missing, is to find out their level of desire to make a change. Because there, you're going to get an outcome, three different outcomes, when you take this approach. And you're not talking about your product, you're not talking about your business opportunity, you're talking about who? You're talking about them. All you're doing is discovering if there's a difference between what they have and what they want, if there is a problem. And so the conversation or the dialogue revolves around this. And you do not bring up your product. That's not 100%, but pretty much you don't. Nothing is really 100%. I'll let you know if I think it's 100%. But as a very, very strong rule of thumb, don't talk about your product. And, you know, unless someone knows that you're going to be talking about your product, and then you can do. But you do it very carefully, and that's something we'll discuss later on. So there are other questions that you can ask. So write in the column, go back to your framework again, and just write in that column seven types of questions, and again, we're going to be covering those next week, seven types of questions. So the key here then is to focus on your two objectives, and that's all you're focusing on. Now let me ask you this. If you're focusing on your two objectives, are you talking about your products? No. Are you talking about your business? No. Are you thinking about yourself? No, you must not think about yourself. You're thinking about them, simply focusing on if there is any problem that you can help them solve. Now, your outcome, okay, is going to be one of three things. The first one is no problem, and therefore there's likely to be any change. And so now, do you offer your opportunity? Do you go step over the barrier and offer your opportunity? The answer is pretty much no, you don't. The second outcome is going to be that there is a problem and there is no desire to change. In other words, a lot of people have lived with their problems for a long time. And while they've lived with them for a long time, they just got used to them and they're not going to change right away. So you have to make a decision now. Are you going to pressure them or not? And I would suggest that you don't. However, you might want to leave a business card by saying something like, you know, if you should ever change your mind, you know, I might know something will allow you to get what you want or make that difference, and here's my business card and give me a call sometime, and maybe they will, maybe they won't, but that's how you plant seeds. The third outcome is that someone does reveal they have a problem, difference between what they want and what they have, and that they are prepared to do something about it. And at that stage, you then transition and go into the next column, right? The next column is the transitioning stage. So before we go there, what I want to do, though, is just go back into the discovery stage and just write a box in that discovery stage and put these words, discovery summary. And this is where you pull everything together. You basically summarize everything, and then you make sure that they're on track, that you've got it right before you ask them the final question, which could be, a qualifying question would be, so let me ask you, if something came along that allowed you to get what you said you wanted and get all the things that you said that you wanted, you know, do you look for opportunities like that, or do you look to make a change, or would you make a change, or would you do something different? This is a qualifying question. And when they say yes, and they will say yes, in some form or another, they say a guarded yes, or a yes, why do you know of something, but they will say yes. Why? Because they say, well, the reason I'm asking is that I might know of something, or I do know of something, or I'm doing something that can help you to do that. And if you're interested, I'd be very happy to share that with you. That's the transition stage. And when they say yes, depending on what it is, or yes, I'd be very interested, however, then you go into the next column, which is the presenting stage. So you can write that in there, presenting stage. And here is where you use your sales aids. And so right in underneath presenting stage, write the words sales aids. Sales aids. And here your sales aids are ready. Some of you have business presentation calls. That's a sales aid. By the way, this call is a sales aid. You could have made this call a sales aid. You can, my newsletters every week that you can get by going to naturalselling.com. Those are sales aids. Three-way calling, sales aids. Having special websites, that's a sales aid. You have CDs or DVDs or brochures, testing products. These are sales aids. And this is where your system comes into play. So under sales aid, put system. A lot of people used to ask me, how does natural selling fit into our system? And actually, it's not that natural selling fits into the system. The system fits into natural selling. That's the way it works. And this is where it all fits in. So once you've gone through your sales aids, you can then do a follow-up and follow through. So in that line which separates the presenting stage and the last column, okay, somewhere down there, just write these words, follow-up, follow-through. Follow-up, follow-through, across that line, across that vertical line. And then in the final one, put connecting stage. In the final column, put connecting stage. Because what you're going to do is you're going to be presenting your opportunity. And the person might come back and say, yeah, this is pretty good. I like this. You say, well, do you have any questions? They say yes. They might ask you a question. You might not know the answer. And it's not your job to know the answer all the time, because there are a lot of people in your company who do know the answers. This is the beauty of the whole network marketing game, if you like, is because you don't have to know very much, because you, as long as you know where to go. And so you're constantly going in and out of presenting and committing until you get a final commitment, until you ask for the final commitment. And that's the dialogue framework. What I want to do here, is before I wrap up, is give you a picture of what this looks like. What I'd like you to do is imagine a table. Okay? Look at the first column, which is the connecting stage. And imagine a table, and that you're sitting on one side of the table, and your potential partner or customer is sitting on the other side. That's basically how you start when you're first connecting. And then, as you go into discovering, which is almost immediate, imagine yourself quickly sliding over to their side. Okay, so now you're sliding over their side of the table. And as Jim Rohn would say, you meet them where they are. You talk with them where they are. Not where you are, where they are. You can ask them questions around where you are to discover if they have any interest in being where you are, but you meet them where they are. In the transitioning stage, you invite them to your side. So let me ask you, as you go through your qualifying, say, let me ask you, if something came along, you know, would you change? They say yes. And the reason I'm asking is that I might know something that will allow you to do that. And if you're interested, I'd be very happy to show you. You're now inviting them to your side. And when they say yes, you then move into presentation stage, which is you now show them around your side. You let them to get them to see and feel and touch and hear what it's all about, so that they can experience it, so they get an understanding that perhaps there is another way of doing things. And then in the committing stage, you invite them to stay. You invite them to stay. And at that point, when they stay, you then build your team. And it's as easy as that. Let's do this. I have Heidi on the line, Heidi Drummond. Heidi, are you there? Have you unmuted yourself?
I'm here.
Hi, Heidi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. So I'm not going to advise you. I don't know anything about you, so I'm going to keep it that way. What I'd like to do is a role play with you, and you can decide how we're going to do this. What I do ask you to do, though, is forget that you're a distributor and go back to a time when you weren't, or you could have been a distributor with another company or something like this, and just be who you are. Would that be okay?
Sure.
All right. And the other thing is that see if you can stay in role play as much as possible.
Okay.
And I'd like to ask you, how would you like to set this up? Would you like to set this up as a stranger, as you calling in, requesting for help? Maybe you'd reply to an advertisement or throat something I did. What would be best for you? How would you like to do this? And then I'll take it from there.
How about a stranger?
A stranger. Okay. So let's do this then. Let's say, whereabouts do you live?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina. Okay. So let's say that, let's say that I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina with you. Not with you, but in there. And I'm sitting on a park bench. And you've got park there, haven't you?
Yes.
Cool, okay. At the edge of a lake. And it's a nice summer day, and I'm sitting there minding my own business. And I purposely planted myself there. And you come up and you decide to sit down. How's that?
Okay.
That'd be okay?
That'd be great.
All right, cool. So you sit down, and I look over and say, hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's a beautiful place around here, isn't it? A lovely lake.
It sure is.
Yeah. You, for want of better words, sorry to say it, but do you come here often at all around this area?
Well, that's good. No, actually, I don't. I just had some free time and thought I'd get outside.
Yeah? What brought you here?
It was close to where I live.
Oh, so you live around here, huh?
I do.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Love it here.
And can I ask you, how long have you lived around here? I'm a stranger around here myself. I just happened to come as well. And how long have you lived?
15 years.
Sorry, say again?
About 15 years.
15 years. Is that a long time for you, or is that a short time?
That's a long time. It's the longest I've been in one place.
Oh, really? Where did you come from previously?
I moved here from Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. Oh. Can I ask you, what brought you here?
Family.
Family, is that like immediate family or your...
Yeah, my siblings and my dad live here.
Oh, and so that's what's attracted you, to be with them? Or?
Yeah, just to come south.
And how was Rhode Island? Did you enjoy that when you were there?
I did.
Yeah, I've never been there. What's that like?
Well, it's got a lot of coastline, there's a lot of sailing and going on, but it gets cold in the winter.
Is that what perhaps brought you here, or you mentioned about moving south? Does that make it a little bit better for you?
Well, no, it was more just to be around family.
So where would you prefer to live if you could, Charlotte or Rhode Island?
Charlotte.
In Charlotte. So you made a good move as far as you're concerned then?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you, if you could live anywhere you liked in your life, where would that be?
Oh, I think I'd like to be based out of somewhere and travel everywhere. I don't know that I could just pick one place and live there.
So I'm not quite sure I understand. Based out of one place and travel everywhere?
Yeah, just Charlotte and just be able to go wherever I want to go, whenever I want to go.
Okay, so you'd like to sit here, be here, and just go wherever you want to go?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you able to do that right now?
Not as much as I'd like to.
Really? We say not as much as you like to. What's preventing you from doing that?
Well, you got to work.
Oh, the work. Yes, I forgot.
Got to go to work.
Well, can I ask you what kind of work you do?
I work for a bank.
For a bank? Big one, small one?
Big one.
A big one. Do you like that?
I do like my job, but I'm getting very tired of going in every day and coming home every day and going to bed and getting up and doing it again.
Yeah. What kind of work do you do for the bank?
I'm an operational risk manager.
Operational? What's an operational
risk manager? I take care of disaster recovery things, business continuity planning.
So if something goes down, you sort of step in and what do you do?
Yeah, I kind of make sure we've got backup plans in place and how to get a hold of everybody.
How long have you been doing that?
About 4 or 5 years.
Is this the same thing you've been doing all the time? Or, were you being in banking or you just elevated yourself? Or is this what you...
No, this kind of just happened. It's evolved.
Yeah. What were you doing before that then?
Before I got into banking, I was in the restaurant business.
That was a big switch.
Yes, a very big switch.
What kind of work in the restaurant business? I'm curious.
I owned a restaurant in Rhode Island.
Oh, I see. So you owned it up until 5 years ago, but you left 15 years ago?
No, I owned it up to 15 years ago, and then I came down here and worked in restaurants down here for a little while, and then I got into the banking business.
Yeah. How was the restaurant for you? Did you enjoy that?
I did for a while, but I think it's more of a young person's job.
Yeah.
I'm getting too old for that.
You sound as though you're due for a change.
Yeah, I'm ready for a change.
So have you done anything about looking for the sort of freedom you want to be able to just be able to get up and go and travel and so on?
No, I really haven't. It's more just a distant dream right now.
So what if you keep it a distant dream, and what if it never happens?
Well, I hope it will someday, but I'm assuming something will change.
Yeah. Have you looked at anything at all to make that happen?
No.
What if something came along that could help you do that?
Well, I would listen.
Interesting. So where would you go if you wanted to travel? What kind of destinations or places would you have in mind?
I would go to the islands, I would go to the mountains, I would go see other countries. I don't know.
Is that important to you to do that before you leave this earth?
Well, I don't know if it's, you know, dire, but I would like to do it.
What if you could perhaps, you know, change what you're doing, or over time change what you're doing, do something else that enable you to, say, make the income for you to be able to travel, even perhaps to do your work while you're traveling as well, so you could go and meet other people within your work frame? Is that something that might work for you?
Sure.
Well, the reason I'm asking is that, interesting, we should be sitting together here, because the reason I'm asking is that I do something like that myself. And if you're interested, I'd be very happy to share that with you.
Sure.
Okay, have you ever worked for yourself? Well, you have worked for yourself before. You've been in the restaurant business, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I help people like yourself to set up their own businesses, whether it's part-time or full-time, so that they can either earn some extra income or earn enough to be able to remove themselves from their present work and make enough money to be able to go and do the things that they want to do, such as travel. And also I work with a company that is also international, so that was what I was just curious about when I asked you about whether, you know, you'd like to work and travel at the same time. Does that sound something that could be of interest to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, what would you like to do as the next step to discover more for yourself?
Maybe I need to get some information from you and get together another time when we can talk about this.
Okay, well, let's do that. What kind of information do you like? Do you like to, because we have all sorts of information. We have a website, we have a DVD, we have a CD, we have brochures. What's the best sort of modality that you like to be able to take in information?
I don't know, websites, CDs, all of them.
Okay, so would you like to give me your address and phone number, and I'll give you mine as well, I'll give you my business card, and then I can send that to you.
That'd be great.
All right, terrific. But let me ask you a question, Heidi. You know, if this is something that that could work out for you, and obviously you're going to be the judge of that, how serious would you be in making that change into doing something like this? I mean, how serious are you about wanting to move forward and, you know, to do that traveling and to be able to get the freedom that I think you're looking for? Give me a 1 to 10, 10 being the deadly serious.
6, 7.
Okay. And what would move you to a 9 or a 10?
Maybe if I lost my job, I don't know.
Okay. So you're somewhat serious about doing it then.
Sure, I'm ready for a change.
Okay. The reason I'm asking is that, you know, if it's something that you do, is that it's always useful to find out, you know, that level of desire to change. I think you probably agree. So that, you know, one can know where to put one's energy into helping someone. Because I think you can appreciate if you're only kind of halfway there, then I'll send you the information. But if you're really serious, then part of my job is to help you get there and to make that happen for you. So something to think about. And in the meantime, I'll take your name and address, your address and telephone number, and I'll get in contact with you, send you some information, and set a time to get together and speak again. Would that be all right with you?
That'd be great.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you.
All right. So, Heidi, before you go, let me ask you this. How long have you been a network marketer?
Well, I've got into it back in the late 80s, and it wasn't the right time for me, and I've been back in it for about 3 years.
Okay. And how did you feel about our conversation?
It was good. I've read your book, and I've listened to some of your CDs, so I very much like your philosophy.
Okay. And how did you feel about this conversation, though? Thank you for saying that.
I felt all right. I don't know that I've ever talked to a stranger before. That's why I picked a stranger, thinking maybe it would, make me a little braver.
Well, hopefully, with what you're learning so far, you can just go and be brave and go and talk with people, because this whole approach is what based on when I was talking with you. I wasn't focused on trying to sell you anything. I was just focused on finding out whether, in fact, there was some if you were looking to change. And if I was to categorize you in one of three places, in other words, that everything was fine, there was no desire to make a change, that, things weren't fine and there was no desire to make a change, and things weren't fine and there was a desire to make a change, I would probably have placed you round about the second category in the time that we had to be able to talk. And,
right.
That's where I would place you. And so that's why I was bringing up about the seriousness about change. Because the reality is, and for everyone on the call, is that I only want to, and I do this in my own business, I'm only prepared to work with people who will take on responsibility of change. If people are wishy-washy and shrugging their shoulders, then that's fine. I'm not going to badger them. I'm not going to pester them or anything like that. I'm going to let them be where they are, soft on the person, hard on their issues. I might, which is a little bit hard on Heidi's issues, but I'm going to leave her alone as a person. So this is the way that we go about it. And I can sit on that park bench all day long, knowing that people will come by and have conversations, and at some time during the day or during the couple of days, there will be people who will be very, very interested. And so why is it? Because I'm not focused on trying to sell them into my business. What I'm focused on is literally finding out if there is something missing, and if there is there a desire to do anything about it? And as soon as there is, then I step over the line and transition. Now, I did a little transition today, but tell you the truth, would I have placed a lot of faith in where Heidi was coming from? Probably not, based on sort of where she was coming from. However, if we had more time to talk, I could explore a little bit further. But unfortunately, we don't have very much time, so that's just the name of the game, and I'm running up against time, so forgive me, everyone, but I'm going to run over time by about 5 minutes, if you don't mind, because I'd like to wrap this up. But first, before I do that, Heidi, thank you very much for participating. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Okay, everyone, so time to wrap up. So I hope this has worked for you today. The next stage is basically put a structure on top of what we've learned today. Remember, we've been building on the foundation, though we will build more foundational items. And, by doing this, perhaps some of you have learned how you can approach it, how you can think differently. And for some of you, it's going to mean perhaps hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars for you. So next week, what we're going to do is we're going to concentrate on four things. We're going to concentrate more on how to reframe your thinking. We're going to take more of the 10 items of reframing. Secondly, we're going to look at the language that you use that can cause potential partners and customers to be irresistibly drawn to you when connecting with them. Thirdly, we're going to look more at the magic and power of the 7 different types of questions and what to listen for that will want people to know more, before you even give your presentation. And we touched on three or four of them today, what they want, why they want it, what's preventing them from getting it, and also the level of desire of getting it. We're going to expand on those and look on both sides of that. You heard me talking with Heidi about with some of those as well. And I also added a couple more in there. And by the end of the next session, what you will be able to do is you'll be able to put people at ease, you'll be able to attract them to you by focusing on understanding what they want, why they want it, and obviously much more. So the next class continues next Tuesday. Thanks, everyone. Good night, and see you soon.